This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's brought to us by WOW, Internet, TV, and Phone. He's our Indians beat reporter, James Rapine. I don't want to ask you about Tito without his shirt on, James. So
yeah, I'm scarred for life now that you even mentioned it.
There you go.
I'm not watching MLB Network, but I'm picturing it. And
yep.
It's not something I thought we'd talk about today, so it's a curveball to say the least.
James, is it fair for MLB Network to use their mounted cameras in the stadium that are on 24/7 to shoot things that are not supposed to be shot? Is there a problem with that? I'm just curious.
I don't think anyone is a fan of Tito with his shirt off, including him. He's probably like, why didn't you cut that?
Fair enough.
Unfortunately, he doesn't have the editing power that the Hard Knocks coaches have, huh?
So other than telling Tito to keep his shirt on, what would you tell him about Brad Hand?
Oh, what would I tell Tito? I mean, I don't know if I would tell him anything. I think that
I was kind of setting you up to make a comment about Brad Hand. I wasn't really expecting you to go tell Tito what to do.
Yeah.
It was a little radio trick there, James. Come on, play along, pal.
The Brad Hand concern should be real. Right, because really since he had one outing, a couple rough outings right before the All-Star break, since then he hasn't looked the same. But I think that even though there's concern, we see this in a 162-game season. Players struggle. It's a long year. Obviously, they've relied on him a lot. And I've gotten a lot of excuses/reasons on Twitter, from he's being overworked to he's got the yips, and they go back and forth, and there's all these things. You know what? Maybe he's just hit a rough patch. Maybe there is no real reason. The velocity seems to be the same, and he's struggling a little bit. So we'll see him probably work out of that. It's not like this is his first rodeo. So I think there should be concern, but I don't think it's overwhelming. I don't think you're questioning whether or not he could be or should be the closer moving forward. It's just a long season. Sometimes you struggle, and we've seen that from Hand over the past month or so.
It's middle of August, and he's already finished more games than he ever has in his career for a single season.
Sure.
At 47. A couple years back, he saved 42. In 18, he ended up 40. Or last year, he ended up finishing 42 games. So he's already 5 games past where he was. I don't know. How do you want to look at it? Like, I'm looking at it like this. You go back last night, if Naquin – I'm not going to say it was an easy play, but if Naquin makes the play and catches the ball – and they end up with 3 outs and no run score, and you know, you don't go to extra innings. No one's worried about it. I think people are worried about it because, you know, it's a blown save.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why. Mm-hmm. It's so fragile. It's one step here by Naquin, and what you think of your closer might change.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think that was a really tough play for Naquin to make. But there is, Hand has shown that he's human. So that's part of it, too. He was superhuman from April 15th through June 1st. I mean, he's a big reason why they were able to stay around 500 and set themselves up to get hot, because he was just automatic. When they had a one-run game, regardless of the lineup they were going up against, he was handling business in the ninth inning, sometimes in the eighth inning and ninth. So he was great, and I think he's hit a little bit of a lull. But you're right. You know, if Naquin makes that play, is there concern? Sure. But it isn't topic A. Or topic B. I think first place is certainly topic A in the run they've been on, but topic B when it comes to the Indians. So I think you have some concern, but really you just got to ask yourself, do you think Brad Hand's a great pitcher? Because if he's truly a great pitcher, he's going to adjust and figure it out the same way Francisco Lindor, a great hitter, would adjust and figure it out if he was struggling. So I expect him to do that, because I do think he's a really talented pitcher. There's a reason he's second in the American League in saves, and it's painful to say right now because he's blown back-to-back saves, but he's gone up against really good lineups too. Minnesota needed to win that game on Sunday, and they didn't. And even though they got the Hand, they weren't able to. Same thing yesterday. Boston's desperate. So you're getting a top offense's best punches right now, and we've seen that translate into a couple blown saves for Hand.
James, the only thing I'll say about Hand, I don't have any major concerns other than, and we went over the stats earlier, his split stats – before and after the All-Star break, light years difference. And what he's done in August, his roughest month of the season, it's just not trending in the right direction. You hope he gets it corrected and moves back to where he was earlier in the season.
Yep. Yeah, and I think the one thing that this season has taught us is that Terry Francona's pushed the right buttons when we've seen that from the beginning of the year when they sent down Jordan Luplow for a few games, and then he comes back and is suddenly a force in the lineup and suddenly has some power to what he's done with the lineup, et cetera. So I think whatever it is, whether it's rest, whether it's getting him back out there tomorrow or whatever it may be, I think it's Terry Francona's probably going to push the right buttons. And he might not be as dominant as he was earlier this year. I mean, that was an amazing stretch from April 15th to basically June 1. So it's one of those things where he was great. You don't need him to be that great. You just need him to be reliable. And we're questioning his reliability now with the stretch he's been on.
Man, there's so many other things I want to talk to you about. I want to get into just the whole notion of how the feeling in the clubhouse and how things have kind of turned, because I keep trying to find that spot where everything changed. And for me, it's still Carrasco. It's still finding out that he's dealing with something that's much bigger than baseball. And is that what galvanized the team?
I think that's certainly part of it, because when you're pressing about, and I get it's serious and they're paid a lot of money, but when you're pressing about a game, when you get news like that, it puts the game in perspective. And so when you look back this run, and people keep using they have the best record in baseball since June 4th. Well, they put Carrasco on the injured list on June 5th. And the news was delivered to them on the 4th. But they've had the best record in baseball since June 1. So, but it lines up really well. So I think that you have to point to that. I don't know how you can't. Now, is that the sole reason? No. But taking a step back sometimes when you're struggling in any business or industry, and getting some perspective, I think that's important, especially baseball, which is extremely mental. You know, it's basically one-on-one, whether you're one-on-one with a pitcher, if you're a pitcher, one-on-one with the hitter. So I think that they've come together, and they believe now, you mentioned the feeling in the clubhouse, they believe now they're going to win every game. Mm. Obviously, that's not realistic in baseball, but they feel that. They don't care if it's the Yankees, Twins, Red Sox, it doesn't matter. The Astros, they think they're going to win every game, and you may think that that's unrealistic or crazy, but I think that's how you have to be if you're going to make a run in October. So I think they're gelling right now, and they're as confident as I've seen them all season.
James, what do you think the feeling is among the front office? And this has nothing to do this has nothing to do with the players. I got to believe that if I'm the Indians and I'm the Dolans, I'm so unhappy with Major League Baseball that they thought that starting March 26th at home was a good idea. There's no way they can be happy about that. They need help, and they need their big brother at Major League Baseball to help them out, and their big brother just gave them a huge noogie.
that's funny. I wasn't ready for that. But, yeah, I think if you ask them on the record, they'd say, well, we can't control it. But, yeah, behind closed doors, are they like, what the hell are you guys doing to us? Why would we play in 40-degree weather for the first 6 years? And they really don't have a guaranteed warm weather series until I believe it's Tampa Bay in late April. So it's tough. It's one of those things. I guess it's one of the downsides when you have Detroit and Minnesota, and obviously you play here in Cleveland, is that the schedule could line up that way. And I wish Major League Baseball would use a little more common sense with that. The other thing that
let's have the Angels on the road the first week of the season. Let's put the Angels on the road.
And I thought it was silly too that they announced the schedule yesterday super randomly when everyone was waiting for the NBA schedule. To me, it was really weird. It was odd timing, but it is what it is. You know, it's just another one of those things that baseball has done that makes you scratch your head.
James Rapine joining us, our Indians beat reporter. This hasn't been discussed yet. It will be discussed more moving ahead. Yasiel Puig has been terrific since he's come over from the Reds in the deal with Trevor Bauer. He's a free agent at the end of the year. We're all assuming that he's gone at the end of the year. Should we assume that, James? Or is there any shot that he and the Indians come to some kind of an agreement?
I would assume that. Now, that doesn't mean...
You would assume that he's leaving.
I would assume that he's leaving.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that there isn't a path, even if it's a small percentage, to that changing. Look, we've seen big-time players that are better than Yasiel Puig have to wait and wait and wait for contracts. We know the reputation he has and his fun as he's been this year in Cincinnati and now in Cleveland, and as much as great as he's looked in 11 games for the Indians, I don't know what his market's going to be. It's going to be really interesting to see. Now, it's obvious you could see one of these teams shelling out a bunch of money and landing him just to add some excitement to their baseball team. But what if that doesn't happen? What if the Indians suddenly are in February and Puig's still out there and that price, that asking price has come down some? I'm not saying it's likely, but I think there is a path to that. I haven't ruled that out completely, but I think odds are he does get some kind of deal worth taking, some kind of long-term deal, and I think that's part of the reason why he's playing so well now. Really, in the last month he was in Cincinnati and now here in Cleveland, is he needs to show people he's real, he's the real deal, and not just a star and a fan favorite, and I think we're seeing that. So it's going to benefit the Indians, I think, for the rest of this year and in the playoffs. We'll see if we'll see what his market is, and that can kind of dictate his future. So I don't think he ends up here in Cleveland long term, but it's not something I would completely rule out, because I think there is a path for that to happen.
And one thing about him, he's hitting .357 for the Indians at 11 games, but if you look at his career, he's never had more than 74 runs batted in a season. He's never hit more, well, only once has hit more than, twice has hit 20 home runs in a season. This year's the third time. So it's not as if he's, you know, a 30 home run, 100 run batted in guy every year. He might have trouble getting that contract he's looking for.
Yeah, I think that's a realistic thing. Like, there's a real path for him to be out there looking for the money that he was hoping for. And so you're going to get the best from him down the stretch, like I said, because he needs to prove that. But if that doesn't happen, there's a chance. You know, the Indians don't have I expect them to probably exercise Kluber's option. We'll see. But let's say they don't. Let's say they look at it and say, you know what, we like our young pitchers. Well, then that's $17 million that you just have out there. You're obviously cutting Jason Kipnis's deal, but you have some guys getting raises. Francisco Lindor is going to get a raise in arbitration. Mike Clevenger up for arbitration, so he'll get a raise. So it'll really kind of just depend. But I do think that there is a scenario, not likely, but there's a scenario where he could end up back here, maybe not on a long, long-term deal, but a shorter-term deal where he can test free agency again in a year or two.
All right, I got 30 seconds for this one. Carlos Santana now finds himself in that same spot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got him for next year at $20 million, which now, you know, originally you didn't want to pay that. Then you turned around and said, all right, we'll pay it. He's been worth every penny this year. And now you have to ask yourself, do we need to get $20 million off the books or whatever he's going to be worth after that, considering if we do want to try to make a run at Lindor?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with Santana, because you got Jake Bauer in AAA, who they invested in and thought could be the first baseman of the future. Obviously, Bobby Bradley is a guy that that they feel at least pretty confident about. So it'll be interesting to see what they do there. I would be slightly surprised if they gave Santana a huge raise, but maybe they renegotiate that final year and extend him and get more money, you know, in 2021 or 2022 on that deal, because he is great in the clubhouse. Obviously, he's playing great now. So it'll be interesting. That's one of those dilemmas, though. Do you sell high this offseason? I don't know if he's going to play better than he is this year. So do you sell high? Do you get a lot for him if you can? And if not, do you just let him play out his contract and help him contribute and then give the reins over to a Jake Bowers or a Bobby Bradley in 2021? It'll be interesting. It's another one of those layers to the Indians front office in the rebuilding or retooling while contending. And it's a tough decision they're going to have to make.
James Sorpin, our Indians beat reporter, brought to us by WOW Internet TV and Phone. Thanks, buddy.
I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks,
thank
James.
You.
James Rapine.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.